Sada Purmul graduated from the University of California, San Diego, with a double major in Religious Studies and Middle Eastern Studies, and served in MSA US, UCSD and as well as MSA West. After graduating, she studied in Egypt for the next 7 years. She completed the bachelor's program in Sharia from Al-Azhar University and almost 2 years of graduate Islamic studies at the American University in Cairo. She also attended the International Union of Muslim Scholars Future Scholars Program. Please help me welcome Ustada Purmul.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you all. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khair al-mursaleen, Muhammad al-Nabi al-Ummi, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alim al hakim rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlu 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. So I'm going to have to stand all the way over there. It's having the same mic issues. First I wanted to start off by just thanking Bayan Claremont for hosting this very important conference, and that it is truly an honor to be here and to be speaking at it in my capacity and as a participant, as a chaplain. That's what I do now. I'm a chaplain at USC, UCLA, and as well as UCI. At the outset, I have to also say it's very hard to follow my neighbor from Egypt, Sheikh Ubaydullah. We actually graduated in the same year, or we finished Al-Azhar in the same time, around the same time. And it's beautiful to hear him, you know, now in California. He's based in Chicago, but it's very hard to follow him. So I will try my best. This topic that I have been given is a vast one, and 20 minutes is really very little time to speak on it. And at the outset, when we think about human dignity, what do we associate with it? If I say the word human dignity, what is that? What are the different connotations that come to your mind? Does it have to do with the rights of others? Does it have to do with the sanctity of human life? Does it have to do with safety issues? Does it have to do with internal respect? Like, it's a very broad term. And so before we talk about something, it's good to define it, or it's good to think about what it is related to. So I will say, in the words of Dr. Hisham Kamali, that it connotes the inviolability of a human person, the recognition of their set of rights and obligations, and guarantee of safe conduct by others, including the society and state. I think this is nice and broad for us to work with, in terms of this discussion. When I read about human dignity in the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's very hard to speak about it again just in 20 minutes, because I feel like everything he brought was about human dignity. It was about the dignity of everything. And so in his own example is the highest example of human dignity. And in what he is teaching others is how to be a more dignified human being and how to treat others with the dignity that they inherently deserve. So it's like all of Islam is wrapped up in this concept. Yes, there is rights to animals, there's rights to the environment, there's rights to the universe, but who gives all of these rights? It's the human beings. And so they have to be they have to live in a dignified way in order for them to dignify one another and to dignify all that is around them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, indeed we have honored the children of Adam. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. And so the word honor, karamna, is from this three-letter root, is something that is reused, is used a lot actually in our tradition. And something that's amazing about the way that this term is used is that it connotes nobility, it also connotes gifts. So human beings are endowed with certain gifts. And the commentators on this verse, they mention, just some of the things that human beings were gifted by God, that all of God's creation does not have, except for the human being. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّا خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. That's the remainder of the verse. And we have favored them above many whom we have created. And some have commented and said, the verse here says كَثِير, which is many, but it can also be interpreted as the human soul is the best of God's creation. And there are some commentators who hold this opinion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni ja'alun fil ardi khalifa, that I have created on earth a steward. And so, of all of God's creation, the creation that is supposed to take care of the rest is the human soul, the human being. And there's much more to say on this. In summary, some of the scholars commented and they said that what separates the human being or what makes the human soul so dignified and so noble are things like granting authority over, again, all of the rest of creation, the powers of intellect, discernment, and speech, their ability to know God. The human soul has the innate ability to know God, and then they can grow in that ability and endowing the human being with extraordinary knowledge. And God says in the Quran, and God taught Adam the names of all things. So in thinking about the significance of where the soul comes from, three times in the Quran, it's emphasized that that the human soul is, we have the gift of the divine breath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, that he has breathed into us from his spirit. So when I say us, I'm not just referring to Muslims, and I'm not just referring to people who even believe in God. It's all of human creation has this gift of the divine breath. And even though this gift of the divine breath is given to all of human creation, it's understood that this breath that is in us is still created, though it comes from this action from God. The rest of creation, God just says, be and it is. But God also talks about the human being in the Quran differently, in that he created us. In one verse, he says that he created us with his two hands. And so it's he fashioned us. We created humankind in the best of forms. We fashioned you in the best of images. And so on the inside, there's a nobility, and on the outside, there's a perfection to the way that God has created the specific creation of the human being. And so we are ennobled from within and we are ennobled from without. Imam Al-Alusi, he comments on this and he says, all members of the human race, including the pious and the sinner, are endowed with dignity. Imam Al-Saraqsi says, everyone's mind must be honored and protected, even if they oppose the way we think. And here when he says we, he's referring to Muslims. So everyone's mind must be respected, honored, and protected, even if they fully oppose in the way that we think. This is all taken from the verses of the Quran and in terms of their commentary on it. The Prophet Muhammad, he says many times in different ways, but I'm just going to say two examples here that I think really indicate what Islam is about in terms of beautifying human beings, in terms of recognizing human dignity, embracing it, as he says, not just tolerating it, but truly embracing it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, the best part of faith is to have beautiful manners. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I have been sent in order to perfect moral virtues. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, was our example of the most dignified human being. So when we think about human dignity, we look to him. How did he behave? How did he treat women? How did he treat animals? How did he treat minorities in his community? How did he treat everything and everyone around him? We look to that most dignified example and try to follow in those footsteps. What is Islam other than a path that embraces and celebrates and promotes human dignity? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we created you of male and female and made you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another. Surely the most honorable, and here the word that's used is also akramakum, the same root. Surely the most honorable among you with Allah is the most mindful of Allah, and surely Allah is all knowing and aware. Now, this is a very famous verse we like to quote in the Quran. Something that's really amazing about this particular verse in the chapter that it's revealed in is all of the other verses that start with, O you who, say, O you who believe. But this verse doesn't start with, O you who believe. This verse starts with, O you people, ya ayyuhan nas, everyone, O mankind. We have created all of you, mankind, into nations and of a male and a female, nations and tribes, not so that you can harm each other, but so that you may know one another. And the word ta'arafu, and this is such a significant aspect of our human existence, is just to know one another. And again, as you know, Sheikh Ubaidullah mentioned, this idea that it's not based on this hierarchy, you know, that we actually celebrate our differences. Sometimes when we think about outreach as Muslims, we'll do like an open mosque day and we'll have everyone come and get to know us. But we are equally responsible to get out and get to know others. It's ta'arafu, there's an alif, that which means it's mutual knowing of one another. This is why God has created us with differences, so that we can come to know one another mutually. And something else that's very significant about this verse, and it leads into a much longer discussion, is eradicating in people's minds, which is where it really starts first, the tribalistic system by which people saw human hierarchy. So nations and tribes, also male and female, that the best of you is the one who is closest to God, who is the most mindful of God. And that is not something that anyone else can measure about us. That has to do with the state of our heart. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that people look at your shapes and forms, but God looks at the condition of your heart. And so the male is not better than the female. The Arab is not better than the non-Arab. The white is not better than the black. No one, and the Prophet said this in his farewell speech, essentially in the farewell khutbah, he said exactly these words, that the Arab is not better than the non-Arab is not better than the Arab, the white is not better than the black, and the black is not better than the white, except through taqwa. And the word taqwa, it has two connotations. It has a spiritual dimension, which is the mindfulness of God, but also the actions, and that taqwa usually refers to people who do faith. You know, they have it in their heart, but they also do it. They live it. And when we think about this, how this completely flips the script in terms of what it does to society is you can never meet anyone and think of yourself as being, you know, better than them in any way, because you have no idea where their heart is. This person who could, you know, mention the example of the person who came into the mosque and urinated, right? If in the moment afterwards he's repenting to God and sincere, he could be better than everyone else around him. No one knows. That's something that's a secret between them and God. And so we are to, in everyone, there is a created dignity, whether they believe in God or not. But the way to actually increase dignity with God is through something that cannot necessarily always be seen. It's something that's in the heart. And this is something that is so significant, because think about how this relates to honoring those who are poor. Think about how this relates to honoring different economic classes, different social classes, different races and ethnicities, women, people of other faiths, people you're even at war with. And there are a number of different narrations. I don't know if I'll have time for all of them, but just, and they're really symbolic because there are plenty. I mean, each one of these could be their own topic. You could talk about how the Prophet embraced human dignity in women, and that could be its entire an entire conference. Once again, my time is, you know, I'm not doing a good job, but the time is running out. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he taught those around him to see human dignity in places where they were not used to seeing human dignity. So he didn't just say, you know, help the poor. He didn't just say, you know, and the assumption when someone helps a poor person is that I'm better than them. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, showing by example, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbal masakin. Oh God, I ask you for the love of the poor. It's not just about, you know, help them out. It's you have to truly love people. And poor here is not separated by Muslim or not Muslim. This is just a category of people that have been marginalized. And the Prophet is teaching us to see human dignity in them. In difficult times, in times of trial and difficulty, the Prophet, peace be upon him, would say, أَبْغُونِي فِي الضُّعَفَاءِ فَإِنَّمَا تُنصَرُونَ وَتُرْزَقُونَ بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, would say, seek me amongst the weak, because truly you are given victory and you are given sustenance because of the weak among you. Meaning we as a community enjoy all that we enjoy in terms of success, politically, socially, whatever, in whatever form. And we enjoy risk, which is sustenance, because of the weak amongst us. Because there's something about the way that that weak person, you know, marginalized, maybe poor, maybe crippled, maybe sick, whoever they are, this du'afa is a very general term, that he is going to be with them and when in times when the community is in need of aid, and he's going to be supporting them because he knows that there's something special about these people. there's a secret of dignity amongst these people who are suffering in this way. And the prophet, peace be upon him, he said, shall I inform you about the people of the garden, all who are weak and thought to be weak? If they were to take an oath by God, God would surely carry it out. And can I tell you about the people of the fire, all who are coarse, domineering, and arrogant? So in times of difficulty, whose prayer are you going to seek? You're going to go to a nursing home, and you're going to go and ask the people who physically cannot move, and you're going to say, can you pray for our community? Because perhaps you in your condition that everyone has forgotten, God sees your condition and he sees your heart, and your prayers are most probably more answered than mine are. And so there's a completely different paradigm shift in people's minds, that the marginalized are actually the ones who may truly be closer to God. And so it's so important to honor them, because you never want to dishonor or take away from the dignity of someone who is a friend of God. You never want to do that. In social classes, there's another really beautiful narration. I don't have much time to go through some of the other narrations, but this one I think is really telling. Abul Abbas Sahil ibn Sa'd, he said, a man passed by the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said to the man who was sitting with them, what do you think of this one? So basically, two companions, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is sitting in the masjid, a man comes in, the Prophet asks his companion, what do you think of this one? And the companion says, a man who is one of our nobles. This man, by Allah, if he proposes marriage, his proposal is accepted. If he intercedes, his intercession would be granted. Then a different man walks in to the mosque, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, he asks the companion again, what do you say about this one? And he said, O Messenger of Allah, this one is just a poor Muslim. If he were to propose marriage, his proposal would not be worth accepting. And if he were to intercede, his intercession would not be granted. And if he were to speak, his words would not be listened to. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this one is better than the whole earth full of the first one. So the hierarchy that matters is the spiritual hierarchy. You can be walking on the street and see a beggar who's missing a tooth, and he can be closer to the one who has the PhD and the Azhar degree and all of those other things. That is something that is veiled from us. And so human dignity exists all around us. And the secret of who's most dignified is actually something that causes, that brings out the best in all of us, because everyone is seeking to be the most dignified with God. And you can't do that unless you honor each other. I have so much more to say, but that's okay. I'll end here. And whatever I said that was beneficial is from God, and whatever I said is wrong and mistaken is from myself and Shaitan. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.